Morning, Elliot. Here we are. I almost have to pinch myself that after the weeks and weeks of us trying to fill time and chatter about almost nothing, that we sit here with five playoff games about 24 hours away.
Isn't it awesome?
It's so good, man. Like, honestly, I don't want to get, because, oh, you're too excited. It's going to... I can't mask it. I'm very excited. The fact that there's five and you can just pretty much spend the day watching hockey tomorrow. It's
we can ignore our families again, dude.
I know. Yeah, go back to the basement and just sit in the darkness. We watched. Now we've had the games. Everybody has played. Is there anything specific? I guess, because it is just exhibition, and for a lot of these teams, they've got a round robin like Boston and some of these teams. They didn't need to go all out, but. Are there any takeaways from the exhibition games that we've seen over the last 3 days that you think might carry forward?
You know, the funny thing was last night, so Columbus jumped out to a 3-0 lead on Boston. And you guys know I live in Toronto, and I grew up with some buddies who are big Leaf fans, and they're in mass panic already. They're like, we're doomed. Columbus looks great.
Yeah.
You know, what did I see? I thought... Well, I mean, McDavid was going, what, 60%? And he looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be a lot to handle, and just like you would expect. I really think that for your series, the thing that really stood out to me the other night was Hellebuck looked really good against Vancouver. Like, he was dialed in, and if Tkachuk or your guys don't get in his grill – You're gonna be in trouble. You cannot let him look as calm and composed as he did against Vancouver. And maybe it's an exhibition game, so you're not gonna try to drive the goalie crazy or stuff like that. But the guy like Tkachuk the other night against Edmonton, like, you could tell he was driving them crazy. Koskinen took that one shot at him. You guys are gonna have to get Hellebuck off his game, because the guy I saw the other night against Vancouver was the guy who was fifth on my Hart Trophy ballot this year.
Yeah, we were already talking this week. We were getting all the cliches out. We need traffic. He'll stop what he can see, make life difficult, get it, all of that sort of thing. Because I'm with you.
I think it's even more than that.
Like, yeah.
You know, Hellebuck has a rep, Dino, and that is that, you know, you can make him mad and you can get him off his game. And that was one of the biggest steps he took this year, was just learning that you have to control your emotions. And you guys have to challenge that. You have to see, as the games get more important, does he revert to that old negative habit that, you know, kind of got in the way of making him the best goalie he can be. And I think that's going to be critical for Calgary in the series.
I'll start here before we leave the Jets and Flames, I guess, specifically. If you had a 20 in your wallet and you had to pick Riddick or Talbot for game one starter, where are you putting that 20?
Oh, boy. I think I'm going with Talbot.
I am too.
Now, I might. Now, I'll tell you this. Like, you're talking about... Now, there's always a difference between what I think and what I think someone else is going to do, right? And I'm thinking that, you know, for the future of the team, I'd give Riddick the games. You know, he there's more of a chance he's your future than Talbot is,
mm-hmm.
and I want to put him in that environment as much as I can. However, you're asking me what I think a coach would think. And I think if you're a coach and you've got to win this series, right, you're probably going to the guy, unless one guy grabs the net, which nobody did the other night, you're probably going with the guy who's probably a bit more stable. And Talbot is more stable, I think, than Riddick. He's got a longer resume. You know what he is. Riddick, and one of the reasons we all love him is he's so unpredictable. I don't have any... You joke with me in text that you're supposed to be an insider.
Yeah.
I don't have any
I know.
Insider knowledge on this one. just my instinct is, my guess is they go with Talbot because he's more predictable.
I'm with you. I've taken kind of the week to feel it out. And like you said, if you're the coach and you have to win, Jeff Ward has to win. He is still an interim coach. So in a very literal and sense, he needs to win this series. And I don't know if he's I play veterans over rookies or young guys, but I just can't help but wonder if he feels like Talbot was better down the stretch. Riddick's still a little bit fiery. I'm going to go with the guy who's been there before. Labardius had a great point this week, too. He's like, on the flip side of that argument, and until you put Riddick in these high-leverage spots, you don't know if he can handle it. Last year, they went to Mike Smith. He was great, but Riddick was a spectator. And if he's going to be a spectator again, you're again going to be left wondering if he can handle the playoff pressure. But
you know what? Peter's right. I back that. From a pure long-term viewpoint of a situation, Peter's 100% correct. Mm-hmm. At some point in time, you got to find out if Riddick can play. But I'm also looking at, you know, there's always the competing ideals, right? Your general manager, as you said, he's got, you know, the coach is a short-term deal. The general manager is a long-term deal. The general manager can afford to look at this from a long-term point of view, but the coach can't. And that's why if everybody was there and everybody knew what the situation was going to be going forward, I think Peter's 100% right. You put Riddick in and then you see what happens. And the other thing is, I think it's all, you also know, you have a better idea of what happens if Riddick starts and then Talbot has to come off the bench. Like, he's done it, right? He knows it. Now, Riddick strikes me as as one of those guys who's like, life's crazy. I like to have fun at it. I can handle anything that's different. No big deal. But you don't know. He strikes me as being that kind of guy, but you don't know. So I think in a lot of ways, it's more sensible from a pure logic situation to go Riddick 1 and Talbot 2, because I think if you go to Talbot in that situation, you know what you're getting. But I just think I can see the comfort level in this kind of situation being higher with Talbot. But I don't think Peter's wrong at all. From a long-term point of view, it's smart thinking.
Yeah, it's not a long-term thing. It's a best of five. It's a week. Yep. You need a guy for the next week to give you the best chance to win. And it's not a great spot to be in. Now, they're not the only team. Obviously, Nashville, they played Saros and Rene. It looks like it'll probably be Saros. Are you surprised at all that there are as many teams as there are that are not coin flipping, but they have legitimate decisions to make as to who's their game one starter going to be?
Well, that's the way the league's going, Dean. It's a two-goalie league now. As a matter of fact, you could say there's more teams now. Like, when we grew up, or when we were doing this, one guy played 65 games and the other guy played 17. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot more, you know, 50-32s and 45-37s, right? So you have, like, Nashville's like that. Columbus is like that.
Minnesota's
like that.
Edmonton?
Edmonton's like that. I mean, I thought for sure when Koskinen got pulled that he was the guy starting game one, and then Smith came off the bench, and I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, now maybe not so sure about this. But I think more and more you're going to see that. It's a two-goalie league. And even in the situations, like, what are the obvious number ones? Price?
Hellebuck.
Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Anderson in Toronto. Like, you know what? Like, even Markstrom, he's the obvious number one in Vancouver. But, you know, if the Canucks had to go to Demko, I don't think they'd be too upset about it.
Yeah.
Rask is the obvious number one in Boston, but if they have to go to Halak, they're not going to be too upset about it. This is a two-goalie league now, Dean.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Oilers and Blackhawks. Do you see any way that Chicago can steal this series?
Well, if Edmonton shows up like St. Louis did the other day, but I highly doubt that's going to happen. I think it's going to be really tough on Chicago. No, I mean, obviously, I mean, the biggest question for every team is how good your goaltending going to be. and you know, that's normal at playoff time and even more now. I mean, like I said, like McDavid the other night, he was going 60%. He looked ridiculous.
Yeah.
He absolutely did. I got to tell you, too, I think Edmonton's defense is better than we give it credit for. Like, Nurse has really come on, and Bear has really come on. I liked Benning the other night. I thought he was really competitive. I just think that that's going to be an awful lot for Chicago to handle. You know, how's Crawford? Just health, everything. You know, he said he feels good. But that's a big one. I just think McDavid going all out, and Draisaitl too. I just think that's a really tough one for Chicago to handle. I think the biggest thing, like, there are some teams here, Dean, they thought their years were over. And, you know, I wasn't crazy about how Montreal looked the other night. I thought Chicago was obviously pretty good. These guys are competitive. They're champions. They've won three cups, a lot of those guys, or some of those guys anyway. I think the juices get flowing. But I think there's some teams here, you know, you kind of wondered where their heart's going to be. And I think Chicago's really got to get to a higher level to handle those guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that things have to really go well for Chicago. Plus, I think you need to compound that with things going poorly for Edmonton for that thing to go
sideways.
You
need their goaltending to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
You really do. And I just can't see, like, I can't see both those guys doing it. I, like, you know, Koskinen looks better. And the one thing about Smith is he's so incredibly competitive. I was so impressed watching him the other night, like, because Koskinen came and, you know, he played so well. And then when Smith saw Riddick go in, he was immediately like, is this my turn too? And then he kind of answered the bell. I just can't see both those guys falling apart at the same time.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman is our NHL insider. I want to ask you about Vancouver. You've got a young Vancouver team against a very seasoned Minnesota Wild team. The Wild were great down the stretch. I, for what it's worth, I picked the Wild to win this series. But for the Canuck fans listening, what do you see here?
Well, I like Vancouver a lot. I like their team. I think they're deep. You know, they've got some holes on D, but in a salary cap world, Dean, everybody's got holes. Like, you can focus on, you know, what we don't have. And yes, I understand that. But it's also got to be about, but everybody in this cap system has a what we don't have. You know, I mean, obviously the big key is Markstrom. He had a dynamite year until he got hurt. You know, can he get back to that level? But I like Vancouver's talent. Like, I think they, you know, I love Pettersson. I love Hughes. I think they've got elite level offensive talent. Those guys drive the team and they're competitive guys. And look, like, I know everybody's down on Erickson. And I know the organization's down on Virtanen, but if those guys are your scratches, you got a lot of good players.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're a really deep team. The Minnesota team, that's an interesting one to me because they looked like they were, you know, left for dead at the beginning of the season. They really charged on. I'm curious to see with those guys. I really am. And like a guy like Koivu was having a really tough year. I wonder if the reset really helps them, and they need him because he's such an important player for them.
So in your city, your Leaf buddies, they're concerned.
They're panicking.
Yeah. Do you think
they saw Columbus 3-0 on Boston last night, and they're like, we're doomed.
Yeah. So do you think they have a reason to be? Because remember, Columbus shocked the world a year ago.
Well, this to me is like, to me, honestly, the two best first-round series are yours and ours.
Yeah, I'll go. I look forward to the Ranger-Carolina series. But in
I think that's going to be a good series. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
But I'm with you. There's something about Tortorella teams and the way they scrap and fight. Merzlikens was so great at times. And it's just hard for Toronto. Even though they're in a bubble, they're still in Toronto. Do you know what I mean? Like, they still can't get away from it. They're the one team that can't.
Well, and, you know, I just think, too, like, it's Columbus's perceived strength and Toronto's perceived weaknesses, right, and vice versa. To me, it's the most fascinating first-round matchup. You've got the skilled team that everybody calls soft, versus the team that doesn't have as much skill, but they grind you and they work their butts off. And like, and you know what too is Tortorella's really working it. Like Dean, he's been doing it for over a week. He refused to talk to the local media on a Zoom call after a scrimmage last week.
Yeah.
You know, he was on them for they look terrible, basically, and not enough guys are ready. Like, he's working it. Mm-hmm. And he's riling those guys up. And to me, in a lot of ways, I think this is Toronto's best situation because you can't dip your toe in the water. You've got to come ready to play or you're going out to those guys.
Yeah.
So it answers a lot of questions. But, yes, after it was 3-0 last night, you could feel the paranoia setting in, no question about that.
So what is your setup? I know you you were talking to Steinberg the other day. You're kind of you've got a few days off, and I know you were off the other night mixing in. But what's it going to be for you?
Well, tomorrow triple header. We have starting at 1:00 your time. Well, at 10 a.m. your time is Carolina Rangers, but that's called a plug and play, which means we're putting in the NBC feed.
Gotcha.
But then, you know, I'm working Edmonton, and then I'm working Toronto-Columbus, and then I'm working the late game, which is your game, I believe, on Saturday night, right?
It is, yes.
And then on Sunday, I'm working the Vancouver game and the Toronto game. And then I have a day off. I think I've got 2 days off in the first round, which is fine. Like, I'd rather work them all, to be honest, Dean. Like, you know, we've been sitting around with our, you know, mm-hmm. we're sitting around picking our noses for 4 months. It's time to work. But I realize there's a lot of people who need airtime, so can't always be me. Even though the audience screams for it.
I was going to say.
It can't always be me.
It's tough on the viewers when you're not there. Kind of a disservice to the audience, but I understand you still need your time. And I have to ask because people want to know: will you be fresh? Yep. Will you be shorn when you take to the screen tomorrow?
Tune in and find out.
See, you love the attention. You love it.
You know what, Dino? You know what I wanted. This is what I told our guys. We were talking about it. Life sucked for 4 months.
Yeah.
Let's make people laugh.
I'm with you. People, because you can imagine out here. Flames fans will watch Gene Principe, and he's doing the puns, and he does the kind of the goofy stuff before the game. It's like, oh, what's he doing? You know what? It's a game. Have fun with it. Try and have some fun. It doesn't all have to be serious, so I'm with you. I'm happy for you, man. I'm happy for everybody that gets to watch hockey tomorrow that waited for it, and I know that you you said all along you couldn't wait to get the call, and you've got it, and we'll all be watching. So enjoy every minute, man. It's good for all
of us. Let's all enjoy it together. I mean, there's the Raptors, there's the Jays, there's lots of good stuff on. Let's enjoy it. Let's have a great time together.
Be good, man. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Take care.